continue with quite a number of 10 gig members, it did trigger more and more instability at the customer side. So we wanted to change that. Also, we needed to grow, and the switches we had were just about the biggest that were available. So we needed to come up with a plan, and Henk's team did that. So now we have this, which looks quite similar. As you can see, there are now four switches in the middle. And there's quite a lot of intelligence on top of that, or below it, if you will. If you want to know really more details about this, this is the MPLS VPLS platform that was introduced over summer. Martin actually spoke about it in the plenary on Monday, but since quite a lot of people actually flew in on Monday, you might have missed it. He's talking about the migration from the old platform to the new platform later on. So lots more detail on this later on. Then the necessary statistics, 766 gigs on the 5-minute average peak. Traffic is still growing exponential, as you can see here. That's the this goes back to 98 and all the way to here. And obviously day and 24-hour and annual statistics. Something that we haven't showed a lot yet, but it's becoming more and more interesting. This is the IPv6 statistics. They're peaking at about 1.8 gigs at the moment. And since these are done in the S-Flow environment, we lost a bit of the history. So there you go, this is the history, and then you move to the other one here. You can see that the growth in 2008 was phenomenal. It was about 1,000%. But even for 2009, it's been 225% up to now. What's new? So the platform is new. We'll have a new access site. We have a price decrease that you can find out about on our website. We have new connection agreements for all members. We're in the process of doing that. We'll have a couple of events, GPF 4.5, just after NANOC in 2 weeks' time, and then our own general meeting in November, which will be at the new near the new access location in Schiphol Rijk, so easy to visit if you're coming from abroad. What's new on the technical side? As you well know, the Quagga route servers are quite unstable currently, and we're moving one of them to OpenBGPD, the new and updated version of it, next week, and hopefully we'll introduce more stability there. If you want to know more details about that, talk to the guys. And we might actually have a bit of an update in the session by Nick later. And then there is a new website and member portal coming online in the next couple of weeks. Any questions? Okay. Next one up is the Denmark Internet Exchange. Where are you?
DUE, that one.
I just do that. Here's that one. Oh, this is pretty cool. Yeah. Should I use to switch pages, arrow keys, I suspect?
I
looks about right. Yes, hello. This is the punishment you get for socialising. Suddenly you're told, come and give a talk on your first time here. My name is Anders Mundtu, which is how I pronounce it in Danish, which none of you would be able to. I am one of the guys operating the Danish Internet Exchange. And, well, I think I'll just dive into it right away. Since this is the first time here, I will not tell you traffic reports. I will try to tell you as little as possible about what we did the last year, although I will mention it. But I'll instead tell you who we are and how we sort of got where we are and why we haven't gotten any further. It started off by, well, one of my problems is that I couldn't really get hold of all the people who know all the history, because that makes it necessary for me to walk the hallways in our building and get some of the old guys out. And I can't get the old guys out while I'm at parties and other stuff at RIBE. But we did start in the early 90s. It was more or less a coincidence that, at least I think it was more or less a coincidence, that we have had several of the Danish ISP located where our main building is. So we had lots of cables in, lots of people in, and some people thought, well, we could put a switch up here. So with that phenomenal speed, 10 megabit switch, it was astounding. Of course, back then people had 2 megabit lines, so there was no issues. It worked quite well. At first we just did it, and then later on we found out that, well, perhaps it is a good thing that we are the ones doing it. Because in the 90s we had fights and struggles between the various commercial ISPs in Denmark. We had TDC, which some of you might know, which is one of the larger companies. And as a provider, no one really liked them because they owned the entire market. They had a monopoly. And in the 90s, that monopoly got more or less destroyed, and we looked for someone able to carry the load of holding an internet exchange. And since no one really wanted to try to trust the TDC back then, well, we said, well, we aren't really involved. We've got no economic thing going here. We just have the building, we pay the rent, and we might as well just put the switch up, and we're dead. So we see us as the neutral ground for commercial ISPs. Having that neutral ground attracted more and more customers over the years, and by now we've got, well, these are more or less a guess at what we have. I just pulled data from the web pages and pulled information from our switches. So we have about 45 connected networks spanning 56 active ports. A few of them will have redundant links, as few of them are 10 gigabit links, most of them are gigabit links. And we have grown to that over the last, well, 15 years, slowly, as people saw the need for upgrading. We had a problem in 2003. We had a major power outage in Denmark, which turned, well, it did cut the power to roughly a third of Denmark. It wasn't very popular with people. Because that meant that all the power to the Danish Internet Exchange went off, which means lots of Denmark were suddenly isolated. We ended up in, well, as I've written here, in pretty much every kind of news media. It means we had press people calling us, we had interviews with newspapers, we had what was slandered all over the technical pages all over Denmark. Everybody said, why aren't you doing it? Why didn't you have battery backups? Why didn't you have diesel generators? Why is the Danish Internet Exchange run so ridiculously primitively? And I talked to the management about it, say, what should I reply to people? What should I tell these journalists when they call? And just tell them the truth, that people didn't want to pay for it. We asked people several times, well, would you pay for us to buy a diesel generator for the Internet Exchange? And they said, no. Well, would you pay for us to get redundant power from somewhere that might be able to get it in a case of a power outage? And they said no, they wouldn't pay for anything.
So we didn't install anything. And in 2003, it really hit them. The thing is that, fortunately, we are government business. So lots of government equipment also had a power outage. So I think 2 years later, the government had given us permission and had given us money to actually install the battery backup and the diesel backup. So we are looking more like a professional internet exchange now in many people's eyes. So far, there's the natural progression that you get from networks. You start off at 10 megabit, go through 100 megabit, go through gigabits, and now we have a few 10 gigabit connections. We're hearing talks here and there from Danish ISPs and non-Danish ISPs that, well, we should do more. They wanted us to do more and perhaps advertise more to people. But we're not really doing it for the advertisements. We're not doing it to get customers here. We're doing it as a volunteer service for the people who might be here. The fact that we are upgrading the hardware is because, well, enough people said there was a need to upgrade the hardware. The fact that the connections coming to our site has switched from being router equipment hosted in our hosting facilities, and now it's instead of, well, short or long haul fibers going directly to the internet exchange. That's just the way things progress. That's what happens when people suddenly kind of, it suddenly gets cheaper to get a dark fiber to our location than it is to actually install equipment and rent some hosting facilities. And the final bit is, I'm not sure what we're going to do in the future as an internet exchange. I hear people constantly, well, here and there, people tell me that they want to do a competitive internet exchange in Denmark. They want to take over the role of being the internet exchange. We have large competitor right to the west, as in Netnod, which is a large internet exchange. And of course, we can hear them breathing. That's the way it is. Everybody talks to me, says, well, are you connected to the M6? I have to say, no, we are not. Nordunet is connected to the M6. We've got no reason to be there. They say, well, how about putting up multiple sites in Denmark so that they could cheaply get to one of our other sites in Denmark? I was like, well, if one person requests it, then he tells me. Then I tell my boss, and then my boss asks me if I'm stupid. Why would we do that? It's, if we have enough people requesting something from us, then we can actually say, well, okay, we will use some of the governmental infrastructure to actually pull some of the traffic so that it still is on neutral ground and is something lots of people request. But small requests from, well, no matter how big a customer it might be, it's still just one person requesting it to me, and there's nothing I can do. Okay? 2 minutes left. Anybody got any kind of questions to me?
Okay.
Well, I can say something without actually having any graphs to prove what I'm saying, but I know that currently our traffic is somewhere around 7 or 6 gigabit. I've always thought that was really, really small. It's like, why is it not more? And then I've talked to some of the people that are actually peering at our site, and it's because everybody of the big customers have 1 gigabit lines, because it's just the service they do for making it easy for people to get here and get a little bit of traffic. And that has backfired on some people. We had this as a, I wouldn't say free service, they have to pay for it to, of course, get connected. We have to have some funding for some of the equipment. And some people actually took advantage of that and abused it and said, well, let's get connected to the internet exchange. We just need 5 meters of cable, able to run a gigabit, and then we can put up a hosting company. So we have one or two hosting companies actually growing up 2 or 3 meters from the internet exchange. And what it really means is that some will see it as we have been funding startup companies, and some will see it as a bad thing that they have that ability. I think I see it as a good ability because they have forced the rest of the market to actually adjust prices in Denmark. Yep.
All right. Wolfgang, you next. He kicks us up. And then. Thank you. And next up after D-Kicks is France Ajax. So, Raphael, if you're there, you're up next.
Wolfgang, D-Kicks update. Down, D-Kicks update. How do I advance? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, hello everybody, I'm Wolfgang Tremmel from D-Kicks, and this is the D-Kicks update for the EIX working group. On the platform, not much changed since the last meeting. We still have the two foundries in the core, and we have four stands at the edge. We have now 12 D-Kicks enabled sites in Frankfurt, with the latest addition, Interaction Frankfurt 5. Where we do not have a router, a switch yet, but we are just backhauling that to the existing switches. We changed our pricing beginning of 1st October to give existing customers an incentive still ordering ports. We have for the fourth quarter of 2009 a best price guarantee. So they get the best price either from the new or from the old prices. You might notice that we dropped the policy of giving a huge discount on the second, third, and so on port. So every port is now the same. We also dropped selling fast Ethernet ports. Instead, for an entry-level product, we now have a shaped gigabit Ethernet port with 200 megabit. For a quite attractive price for smaller customers. The complete pricing scheme is, of course, available on our website. Other news, we now have 18 employees on board. We have a couple of new guys. One of them is here. Andreas, can you please stand up? Andreas is doing sales, so if you want to upgrade or order a new port now, just talk to him. We also started D-Kicks Consulting. So if you plan to open a new exchange in any part of the world, talk to us. We are going to help you, but it's not for free. Events, well, you know most of them. Of course, we are also at NANOC and at the GPF, and we are co-hosting the CNX3 in Frankfurt in October. So if you're interested, just go to the website and register. Yeah, time to show a new graph. Like Kara did, this is our IPv6 graph, also done with S-Flow. And I think it might be a good suggestion for future EIX meetings if everybody who could produce an IPv6 graph to do so, and either instead showing it instead of the IPv4 graph or showing it additionally to see that actually something is happening out there. Yeah. We also operate two other exchanges. One of them is WorkerX in Hamburg. We have a solid growth there. It's a slow growth, but it's a regional exchange. So we have at the moment slightly above 3 gig. Recently, one of the bigger content providers signed up. So that gave us a bit of a push. And we are also doing local meetings there. So we're doing roundtables for the customers of these regional exchanges. We had 30 attendees for the recent roundtable. If you're interested peering in Hamburg, just talk to us. This is basically the only real new item we have here in the whole presentation. We also have operate an exchange in Munich called the Alpix. And we are opening a new site. And at Landsberger Straße 155, for those of you already peering in Munich, this address might seem familiar. We also have roundtables there. Next one will be in November, so if you're interested, just let us know. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay, thanks, Wolfgang. Next up is Raphael. With France IX, and after France IX, it's Gigabix. So make sure you're ready.
Okay, so I'm Raphael Monnier, working for Neodec in Paris, so apologize for my English. I'm from France. So we talk about France AX project in Paris. So, if you remember last RIPE, Maurice Dean just updated about Phoenix. So Phoenix is a, we were a group of people working on the same project to fix peering in Paris. So we were Maurice Dean from Google, Christian Kaufmann from Akamai, Nicolas Tunier from Jaguar, and me, myself from Neo. We start to talk about the existing peering point in Paris, so there's about 12 in Paris, and none of them is more than 100 gig of traffic, and most of the traffic is going to Amsterdam, Frankfurt, and London. So we made a survey about 1 year ago for about 70 answers from people, and we decided that we are on the good way, and we start to work with people from the outside just to build a new exchange in Paris. It's not a new exchange, a new platform that will be federating people in Paris. So this is the result from the survey from people in, most of the people was from Paris, and most of them, the other one was from London, Amsterdam. So are you prepared to pay a market rate for your ports? So more than 80% was agreed. So do you need support? Because there is no support today in Paris except for my friend from Sphinx. Obviously, you people need support, so team. So where we are today? So today we are not individual anymore. So we are working with companies. So we are now part of not funding members. So we are funding a new company. So it will be from Google, Akamai, Jaguar, and New Telecom. And Interaction joined us on the second time, just because we need someone to a data center so we can establish the first, let's say, infrastructure. So we change, as a working group, we change from Phoenix to France AX. So this is the new logo you can see on the PowerPoint. And we decide with some lawyer to build some dedicated, we saw that we can't do something as AMSEC in France because of the law. So we decided to move to a GIE, so it's an economic interest group, because it's almost the same as AMSEC, but with the AMSEC association and the company in one company. So this is for fiscal issue, because in France we have some trouble with the fiscal issue, as always. Okay, so what is the status today? So we have defined some POPs. We already have the support from all the carriers in Paris. So we are in discussion with Interaction, Teleos, TDC Redbus, and Equinix in second time. We already have the hardware. This will be 410, E1200. We already have the fibers from Neo Telecom, so we provide the fibers to the exchange point. So we will be able to have fibers between all the carriers. And with Interaction and Neo Telecom, we shared the marketing budget, and we will hire the people. So what are the next step? We are going to deploy the first POP in the coming weeks. This is in discussion with all the exchange, all the data center, but today with no legal entity, it's difficult to being able to deploy to, right now. So we are waiting for the people to sign. So it will be something like by the end of next week. Official launch will be in December. Because we have the French NUG in December, the second week of December. And we are going to have some events about what will be the exchange. So we already talked with people from the outside, so we can connect to the exchange. We are going to exchange to extend to new POPs. So we're talking about Equinix in second time, and maybe Iliad, it's a new POP. And we are talking with some people from other exchange points like PNAP. And we are talking with our friends from Sphinx. And the next step will be to, we are going to apply to be a UIX member. So this is phase one. We are going to deploy in two core sites, Instruction 5 and Telos 2. We are going to connect all the other sites, Instruction 1, 2, 5, the situate bus, Courbevoie, Telos 1, and Telos 2 as edge site, edge equipment. Oh, this is more technical stuff. This is how we are going to build the exchange. So this will be a fiber ring, but point-to-point using some band splitter stuff. So we are going to be able to reduce the number of fiber. So this is where we are, and the phase two is finish the phase one. That's it.
Okay. Any questions for Rafael? Okay. Then Gigapix is up.
Thank you.
And after Gigapix, it's INEX. So Nick, be prepared.
Clear F.
Hi, I work for FCCN, and one of our activities is Gigapix. So this is a very short presentation. There's some table with the evolution, so you can see we nearly don't have any change in the membership, but traffic is somewhat growing. So there is also practically no changes in the IPv6 in the members doing IPv6 over the exchange also. So I've seen the Danish Internet Exchange presentation, so it's good to know we are not alone. So we have some similar problems due to our nature. So, like them, we are also seeing less rack space used, so people are not installing routers near the exchange. They are mostly using backhaul connections. So, we are also nevertheless improving the platform. So, we have added 10 gigabit ports, and we are currently accepting new members, so we are currently talking with three prospective new members. So 10 gigabit, so 36 ports over the exchange. We supply short reach and long reach optics. From the 36, 7 are currently used, so there is a lot of space for new members. So this is the location. We are near the airport, and like in any other exchange, we have 24/7 support. So if you have any questions.
Any questions?
Yes. Okay. thank you for the report. I have adapted, so if there are no membership of port fees, how is the funded? I didn't understand that.
Well, it's a bit different from the Danish because we are not an university, we are an NREN. So we have some funding from the ministry to help in this activity.
Thank you.
Nick Hillier from INEX is up now. Thanks a lot. And after that, Mike from Lynx, you're next up.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nick Hilliard, Head of Operations at INEX. I'll keep this fairly short. Just a couple of boring statistics. 42 full peering members. We now have all of our members active. Previously, we had just a couple of members who, for one reason or another, known only to themselves, they would, you know, come on as full members and then not bother taking peer imports. I don't quite understand why, but anyway, it happened. Anyway, that's fully resolved now, which we're very happy with. 13 associate members who get to come along and partake in free beer, which is good for them and probably good for us as well. Our traffic is growing. It's still very small, as I've noted previously. Probably the reasons for this are that because we all speak English in Ireland, most of the peer-to-peer content that we have would be exchanged with British and American peers. So we don't tend to get a lot of native language peer-to-peer traffic like you'd get in other European countries. But the statistics are very much in the right direction, about 125% growth in the last year, which is quite good. We have a lot of our membership base using the root servers, 67%. We've been pushing it quite hard. We do recognize that not everybody is going to want to use the root servers, but they're very good for a particular segment of our user base. And our general policy is, well, look, use the root servers unless you have a good reason not to, okay? And there are good reasons not to, but if you don't know what they are, then they're precisely applicable. They're extremely good. We have a new point of presence opening up in Interaction Dublin. It was scheduled to be opened last week, but unfortunately, due to equipment delays and that sort of thing, we're going to be bringing it online next week instead. Previously, we had been using Cisco 6500 switches, which are quite good. They're a really nice 1 gig platform, but they have certain problems at 10 gigs. But we did a bit of soul searching about, you know, cost and, you know, performance and features and all of the usual stuff, and actually settled on fixed configuration boxes, and the new Interaction node is going to be using Brocade Turbo Iron TI24X boxes and Fast Iron EdgeX 624 boxes. This gives us a good combination of the right sort of density and the right feature set at a pretty good price. So you know, it's a pretty good win all around. WDM, we have a fiber ring between all of our three sites. Now, of course, because the Turbo Iron boxes are SFP plus, they don't actually have enough power to drive 10 gig over long distances. So we have to use XFPs for that, and that means WDM equipment. So we're using Transmode kit for that, and Transmode are really nice. I really like their stuff. There's a lot of benefits. Lower cost, power consumption. There's one technical requirement that we don't have quite yet, although the hardware is capable of it, and that is just that we need the IPv6 layer 3 filtering. It's not a huge problem because the amount of IPv6 traffic that we have at the moment means that it's not going to be a serious problem right now, but it is going to come online. And we are fully aware that this design does not scale to all IXPs. We don't pretend it does. There's probably a bunch of IXPs sort of sitting in the room thinking, you know, what in the hell are they doing? We think this is a good solution for us. So these are the boxes. Turbo Iron up here, small 1U box, and the Fast Iron EdgeX is a 2U box. Here's the build. I'm sure probably most of you haven't actually seen the inside of a data center before, but in case you're wondering what it looks like, this is a cabinet, and this is a bag here, and we have some tools as well. We do actually have electricity in Ireland. This is comes as a matter of surprise to some people.
10 seconds left.
10 seconds. Don't be mean. Okay, here's a map of Dublin. We are down here and down here at the moment. The new Interaction node is up here. There's a couple of other data centers spotted around the place. As you can see, they're all kind of on the outskirts here. It's unfortunately it's a gastronomic desert out there. If you want a decent lunch, you're out of luck. But the data centers are good. Just zooming in on it, we have this is our fiber ring. It's a 29-kilometer ring, and we've taken a spur off into interaction. There is actually another path kind of going up in this direction in the other side of this industrial park up here. We don't have fiber on that yet, and we are trying to beat up our fiber provider to get connectivity in via there, because at the moment this is kind of going in and out in the same duct, which obviously has is of some concern to us. And here's our network layout. So this is these are our two existing points of presence here. Here's interaction dub one, and here is interaction dub two, which is going to be coming online in January. And the way we've worked it out with Brocade and Interaction and everybody else is that we've got two sites kitted out for approximately 45% of the cost that we might have spent on kitting out a single site. So major win all around, and we're very happy. Okay, there we go. Questions?
Any questions for Nick?
Hi,
Nick.
Could be mean to me.
Will from Lonap here. I was wondering what, obviously you've got a hybrid setup there with different models and vendors' switches. What resilience protocol are you going to be using?
I am sorry to say that we're going to have to start out with spanning tree. We don't have an option on this at the moment. At some stage in the future, we would like, we're going to be retiring the Cisco kit at some stage. We don't know quite when. But if we were, if those boxes are retired, we would probably like to move to Brocade MRP. There's a minor problem in that the Turbo Irons don't support MRP yet. It is in the product roadmap, and it should be coming into the code base relatively shortly. So, yeah, spanning tree right now, not ideal, but you know, there you go.
Mike Hughes, Links. Just more of a comment than the question, and I actually really like the idea that you've actually gone away and done something that's the right size for the pop. You kind of said, well, this doesn't scale, but actually you don't need it to. And so the reason I think a lot of some exchanges, when they've been set up, they fail because they've looked at the sort of 95th percentile exchanges that need huge infrastructures, and like the diagram that Cara showed earlier. And they go away and try and build that in an organized place where there's only sort of 30 participants or something. Yeah, you know, so I think this is really good stuff.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
And from one mic to the other. Yes, I do.
And Will, you're up next after Mike. That's Lana.
That one you've gone past it. There you go. Down. Stop. Done. Why is it trying to edit it? Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Mike Hughes. I'm the CTO of Lynx. Ivan, are you trying to take pictures of my nose hair with that lens? I'm Mike Hughes. I'm the CTO of Lynx, and I'm here with a bunch of other staff from Lynx. I'll point them out to you at the end of the presentation. Quick update on what's been going on with us. We are one of these 95th percentile exchanges with crazy architecture. Vital stats, just over half a terabit at peak. Over 2 terabits of connected edge ports now, 340 members. So, you know, really good, healthy member count. From over 30 different countries, or maybe even over 40 now. Switches are hosted in 10 interconnected locations, and they're spread all around London now. They're not just in Docklands, where the most IXs were commonly located. So we've got stuff in Docklands, in central London and in West London, and here's a quick map to show you where they are. There's the stuff concentrated on the right-hand side as you're looking at it. The yellow dots, and those are the Docklands data centres out near the London City Airport. And then there's the 3 green push pins, and those are the 3 new locations that we built in 2008. Furthest west is over at Slough, which is to the west of Heathrow, and then Telecity over in Acton, and the interaction facility over in the city in Brick Lane. They're all actually proving very successful, and it's great that we've got the ability to provide some geographical diversity, because obviously these locations are drawing power from separate bits of the power grid and then other redundancy options. So it's great that we can provide you guys with more choice by doing that. So that's 10 different locations now. In terms of the network overview, we've not really made any major changes in the past 12 months. It's the same dual diverse LAN, dual vendor thing that I think everybody that is a Lynx member or is in the Exchange community is used to. Switch interconnect is done at multiples of 10 GigE, right size to the group of sites that are on that ring. And it's a ring type architecture, so in the Foundry, the Brocade LAN, I'm still getting used to calling them Brocade. The Brocade LAN, that's done with MRP, their ring protocol, and in the Extreme platform, that's done with EAPS, which is their ring protection protocol. They both achieve pretty much the same thing, which is very quick failover and management of redundant links. IPv6, well, I think, yeah, no slide at the moment, no slide deck is at the moment is complete without any discussion of IPv6. Yes, you can. You have been able to do it for quite a long time now. It's done native stack over the same network, same VLAN. It's a native dual stack, root reflectors, of which more later, support IPv6. Right now, our supporting services, which are web, mail, and DNS, and things like that, they haven't supported v6 because we've not really needed to do it, and we've had other things to do. But we are going to be doing that because we've now got good internal support in our own internal sort of enterprise network, if that's what you want to call it. To do this. So in the coming months, we'll make our things like our external website and DNS and mail and all those good things available over v6. And the other thing some of you may remember was earlier this year, we ran an IPv6 workshop that existed solely to distribute Clue, and I think it actually did a pretty good job. How much v6 traffic? I don't have that number at the moment. I will try and refresh that at some point. Biggest project that we've had on in the last 12 months, other than building out those three additional locations, was to rebuild our POP in Telly House North. It's 12 years old. It was the not the original Lynx POP, but the second one that we built when we were growing to about 30 members. So this was sort of generation two. So it was moving away from the sort of stackable small switches, and we built a POP, and this was opened in 1996. So this is now 12 years old, and it's having to host more and more equipment. Moving somewhere else in that Telly House North building was a real challenge because all the cabling from all the members throughout the building was all coming up to this room in DFM6, if people know Telly House North. And trying to move that stuff somewhere else was going to be a really serious nightmare of a job. Fortunately, the member in the room next door was moving out, so we just asked Telly House if we could rent that room, took the wall down out of the middle, and then started to rebuild. So we're rebuilding with new cabinets, new ODFs, and replacing all the power infrastructure as well. So that's actually been quite a big job because, I'm going to paraphrase Martin, it's rebuilding the aircraft in flight here as well. So again, we were having to migrate people from devices in the old side to devices in the new side. At least we didn't have to go and run new cabling to the member terminations. We didn't have to get you guys to go out and actually move which socket your equipment was plugged into. We managed to do all the changes from our end, which was obviously made a much smoother migration. That's going to be finished within the next few months. It's been a long time coming, but we've got light at the end of the tunnel now. We needed the space to host things like the MLX32, which you see in the picture on the bottom row. And we've got some lovely, really nice, neat cabling up on the top right. So, you know, we've been able to take all the experience that we've had from putting in these very dense switches over the years and rebuild with the facilities to be able to handle all the cabling and the power and everything else properly. Root servers, well, it's a common thing, a common theme amongst IXPs at the moment. We run this thing called Quagga, as many people do as root servers. And if people didn't know what a quagga was, as well as a root server, it's an extinct subspecies of zebra. And I think some of us maybe wish that quagga was extinct. Here's a picture of one. It's in London in a museum, and it is stuffed, like most people that are running quagga at the moment. It's probably the best thing for it. The scaling problems are largely due to its single-threaded nature and the fact that everything is run to completion. What we do need to do is get some better sort of root server there. We're heavily involved in the EuroIX root server project, which you'll hopefully hear a little bit more of later. And the goal of that is to produce at least one and hopefully more viable options. Whether that's a rejuvenated, refreshed Quagga that can handle the scaling requirements, or whether that's alternative software, both of those are acceptable alternatives. I'm going to go back to something that Nick was talking about in routing, where he was talking about IRR toolset. And that was a really good example of the same things that afflict Quagga, which was software written by network guys. And therefore, it's not really been approached from a software engineering point of view in terms of keeping the code clean and optimized, I think. That's certainly one of the things that we've heard from the initial research into issues that have been had with Quagga. Things could be optimized a lot more. Hopefully, we can get some stuff out of here, and we can replace these. WDM, I spoke about this in Copenhagen, just a quick advert for everybody who wasn't in Copenhagen. It's a logical extension to the local PNI offering, 1 gig and 10 gig between some selected sites. Uses transmode stuff, so those guys are actually proving quite popular with the IXP market. Here's the sort of connectivity map. It works with the existing ODFs and the existing sites, and we can just hook you up really quickly, hopefully. Pricing and everything is on the website. I won't bore you with that now. We've had some work done on our S-Flow internal tools, so we can do some modeling. It helps us with doing upgrades, things like that. So we can actually see between each switch where all the traffic is going into the other switches in the network. And the other thing that we've also done is invested in test equipment. Buying all this WDM gear, we needed to obviously have an optical spectrum analyzer so we could find faults and deploy quickly. So that's a nice new toy that we've got, but it's going to be really, really useful in delivering quality service. And also we are doing some upgrades on our Ixia platform. We've had Ixia a long time. It's a traffic generator and analyzer, for those of you who aren't familiar. We've normally been using that to do things like performance test switches and verify stuff at layer 2. We've now increased that so that we can do things like stress test routers, so that's very, very useful when we're looking at things like root servers and Quagga alternatives. 2010, Telehouse West, nice big pot. Plan for over 50 new members to come online next year. And we're going to move our head office up in Peterborough because the lease has come to an end, so we're going to move out there. When you're taking on this many members, you need more staff, so we've got the space. We're hiring. If you do know anybody who's interested, have a look. You must have the right to live and work in the UK, but one start now, one in January. We're 15 in November. We've got our member meeting coming up in November, and if anybody's got any memorabilia in their archives, please let us know. And if anybody's got any questions, I'm here, as are some of our staff, and some of them are sat in the back left-hand corner of the room. Any questions? No, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks much. Okay, next up, Will from Lana. And after that, it's Mix Milan. Are you ready?
I'll move on up. This one? No, next one up. Sorry. That one. Yeah, that's me.
Only 5 slides. Should be good.
Cheers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Will Hargrave from Lonap. I'm here with my colleague, Andy Davidson, who's a WG chair, so you should probably know him already. Just a quick presentation here, won't take up too much of your time. Usual stuff, we're still a neutral, not-for-profit member-owned internet exchange. We're in 4 sites for now, Cisco 6500 based. We have some traffic. We've been working on quite a few things since Riot 58, since Andy stood up and talked to you. Our root servers, two on diverse platforms, have now been deployed in a kind of slow start ramp up. We have both OpenBSD, OpenBGPD and Bird software deployed there. The other thing we have been working on is looking at our next generation platform. We are turning up more and more 10 gig ports on our existing platform. Same as many others have been standing up here and telling you, is beginning to run out of port density. And that's going on to the commercial side of things. We want to keep our 10 gig costs low. This is an increasingly popular product.
and the new generation's SFP Plus switches are considerably cheaper than expanding our current platform. We're also working, talking to some data center operators about growing out to new sites in London. There's some good opportunities there in the local area to where we are already. Who are we here to talk to? Well, other IXPs. We already talked to a lot of IXPs via URIX, but I'm glad to be here and talk to more people. Other IXPs we like to collaborate on the Root Server product project, which you'll hear more from Nick about later. And any networks here that appear in London that aren't on LONAP, we'd be delighted to help you fix this problem. And you can talk to myself or Andy. And there's some information. We're going to have a social in November in London. If you'd like to come along, please have a chat with us. Drop us an email. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for that. Question.
Hi, Bill.
I noticed you had an 800 gigabit spike this morning.
Damn, Akamai. No, no, it'll be some monitoring error. Yeah, I'll go and fix it.
Will, sorry, is that a tacit acknowledgement that you fiddle your statistics?
I think it's an SNMP and Cisco thing. Yeah, what can I say? Anyone else?
Okay.
Thank you.
That's nice. There you go. And next up after Simone is Curtis, or at least I'm assuming it's Curtis. There you are.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Simone Morandini, and I'm going to give you a short update on Mixer by starting with some traffic statistics. We've had 10 new members in 2009, and so an average of about one member per month. And among the others, we've connected Mediaset, that is a national TV broadcaster in Italy. And after Rai in 2007, this is the second national broadcaster that connects to Mix. And thanks to this thing, and thanks also to some upgrades made by some already existing members at Mix, we've had growth of almost 10 gigabit in the last year, with a peak of almost 44 gigabit. The most part of this traffic actually came after the summer, as you can see from this graph. And if you consider that about 1 year ago we had around 7 gigabit that moved away from the exchange, this leads to a growth of 16 gigabits. That is pretty remarkable for us. We also noticed a sort of awakening on the IPv6 side, because we've assigned 17 new addresses in the last year, and this brings up to 25 members that are IPv6 ready on the exchange. And while before we had only one peering LAN, public peering LAN for V6 members, now we introduced also a backup peering LAN, just in the same ways that happens for IPv4. Unfortunately, I don't have graphs to show IPv6 statistics, but it's something I'm currently working on. Again, on the technical side, we've completed the expansion project of our data center. We run our own data center. And the last step missing was the installation and replacement of a second generator in the network. And now we have a fully symmetrical and fully redundant scheme that you can see in this picture. There are two completely separate and independent power supply lines that feed the data center. And we are strongly encouraging our members to take advantage of this scheme, not to have any kind of problem on the electrical side. Okay, for fees for 2009, there has been a general reduction in the prices. We are not charging our members on a per port basis, but on a per traffic basis. And so that's why you see prices that start from a certain amount. And we generally decrease the prices for fast Ethernet and gigabit Ethernet ports. And while the cost for 10 gigabit port is practically the same as in 2008, we introduced a 20% discount on the second port. And finally, since April, we hired a dedicated person on the marketing and communication. Some of you already knew her in Prague. We have now a cross-promotion activity with Lynx and NetNode, basically to ease the joining of mutual members. And internally, we are pushing on outreach by issuing regular newsletters, and we published our first annual report, and we are working on the styling of our logo and website. And that's it. If you have any questions.
Any questions? Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
And after Curtis, it's Nick Cizet.
Right, thank you. Yeah, my name is Curtis Lindquist. I guess most of you have heard enough of me last night. I'm the CEO of NetNode. First of all, you might have noticed that we not only do dinners, we also have changed the logo as of this time, and we also run exchange points, actually. So we are the largest non-profit neutral exchange in Sweden, founded in 96. Goes back to the old DGX in Stockholm. We run 6 exchange points in 5 cities. There's 2 switches in Stockholm. We have 55-ish providers connected. I think it's a bit more, actually. When NetNode was established, as most of you know, we are a bit special. We run the switches from these secure government bunkers. The reason for that is that NetNode got classified as national critical infrastructure from the beginning. And that on the establishment of NetNode, the Swedish government thought that keeping connectivity inside the country working was quite critical, and we had the need for high availability. This also gave us the task that's part of the, although we're this non-for-profit, one of the things you also try to do is help run critical infrastructure. So we're one of the root server operators, and we also provide DNS services for quite a number of TLDs. We run the official Swedish time distribution at the exchange points, NTP servers from the UTC SP scale, which is the national time scale in Sweden. We are also the measurement points for something called, used to be called TP test, it's actually called Bredbandskollen in Swedish, which is a consumer tool that where consumers can measure and validate the broadband connections, and the reference points are the five cities, the exchange points, so you can measure the performance between your computer and there's reference servers, and in that way you can see how close to the claimed speed of your provider you actually get. We also run a copy of the RIPE routing registry and have for quite a long time, although we must admit there's very few people actually use it. Because of these bunkers, when you connect to NetNode in Stockholm, we actually don't disclose the bunker locations based on government requirements, so you get 2 separately routed fiber pairs, 1 to each bunker from us. In the other cities, there is no fiber monopoly as there is in Stockholm, so you have to order fiber from your provider of choice, and we'll coordinate the patching with you. I have for quite a long time been saying that we wanted to change a bit of this. The pricing of the monopoly in Stockholm is based on, this is on wheels, the pricing of the monopoly in Stockholm is dependent on the location where you are, and so we have this inner and outer city pricing, this has led to the fact that between the two most popular and actually two only carrier neutral co-locations in Stockholm, which is still a city interaction, we have a substantial amount of fibers running in parallel for a higher price, and we thought this was a bit silly, so we have this plan we planned for quite a while to do VDM installation between them and get rid of these multiple fibers. The installation is done. This summer we purchased the same Transmode TM system as Mike was talking about. They're installed. We will bring the new customers we have pending live on this system, and then we'll do migration of existing customers within a few weeks. This migration will be done completely in the meet me rooms of Telecitron Interaction, so you as customers shouldn't have to touch your equipment at all. It should be all handled by us. The good news is that this will also bring down pricing with around 25% for those of you at these two locations, because you'll be moved to the inner city pricing, those who are already existing customers will get this price reduction from the date when you connect, from the migration date and onwards. More updates. We hosted EPF in Copenhagen together with DQ's Links and M6. We are doing the RUD server installation hopefully this year. We have sort of delayed this a bit, waiting for all the happy and joyful experiences of our colleagues and the work in EuroX. As you saw from Mike's presentation, it can only get better. So as soon as we see what the work in EuroX comes out, and if there's some recommendations there, we're going to go for this and see what software is available. We are also following up on Mike's presentation, what I didn't write on the slides. We are also moving offices next week. There's going to be an announcement going out that Wednesday, Thursday next week. We'll be a bit busy with the office move, and therefore we might have a bit of a delay in replying to email. But it doesn't affect operations. There's none of the operations are run out of the office space. Just some custom numbers. You're seeing quite a big growth for us this year. I think we had 5 new members join, and we have an additional 5 pending installation of the VDM system. So this is going to be the record growth year for us in terms of numbers of new members. Traffic. If you remember at the last RIGHT meeting, I got the question of what the drop on April the 1st was. We don't know. We don't keep records of this. We do know that some 60-plus journalists who called us seem to believe that this was in relation to the IPRED directive that came into force in Sweden on April the 1st. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. We don't care. We just shift bits. But I do observe that a lot of this traffic has grown back after the summer. So whatever happened on April the 1st wasn't something that seems to have been sustained. The same for Stockholm, which is clearly the largest city of all the traffic we have. We'll see the same pattern. Last, we also run the iRoute, and we do anycasting for quite a few TLDs around the world, and we are present with anycast at a number of exchange points and also at a number of other locations inside networks. If you don't already peer with us, we do really want to peer with you, so please send an email to peering@netno.se, and we'll fix that too. Questions?
No. All right. For Bruce? Okay.
It's all crystal clear.
And after that, it swings. Present. Sphinx. After. Okay. And it's after this one.
Good morning. My name is Josef Homain, and I'm going to give a short presentation about NIC CZ, which is located in Prague in the Czech Republic. So our numbers, we have almost 100 members at this moment. We have 7 full-time employees, including the NOC, working 24/7, and we are in top 10 exchange points in Europe measured by traffic. We can look at the development of number of ports and networks, and we see that the 10 gig ports are really interesting for our members. As for the traffic, I will explain later that this year we experienced a little bit stable situation since spring, during summer. Now I have the slide about our topology. So we have 4 locations now with 5 switches, and we are preparing and planning upgrade, because we are full of ports, or we have almost utilized all ports at the next 4 location, and we will also implement higher capacity between the POPs, as we have today, 4 times 10 gig interconnection between the POPs. As for the traffic, I said that this year we experienced growth since January, starting at 70 gigs in December, January. Till April, we saw a growth, but then the traffic somehow remained at the same level during the summer. And now, finally, in September, the traffic started again growing. And now we reached some peak this week around 97 gigabit in total. So these are details graph. So the situation is not bad. The traffic is increasing. As for IPv6, I don't have graph today, but I can say that we have almost 1/3 of members doing or operating IPv6 peering. You can get 45 prefixes, and also all our services, NICCZ services, are available on native IPv6 addresses. About root servers, we implemented two router servers on different platforms, on different hardware, in different locations. One is Bird and the second one is Quagga. And again, we can say that almost 1/3 of members is connected there, so the peering is much more easier for newcomers and for new members. Here you can see the number of prefixes available through the route servers, so it's almost 7,000 of prefixes at this moment. It would be better to have the, let's say, some traffic statistics from this. Regarding the route servers, I have to say that my colleague Andrej Filip will present tomorrow more information about BERT, which is, I would say, a good alternative to Quagga. And the presentation will be in at the last session of RAI plenary between 11 and 12:30 tomorrow. About our future plans, we are expecting a price decrease since January 2010. Then we are working on some hardware upgrade because we need to fulfill new requirements for members. And also have to mention that the next RAID meeting will be in Prague in May, and NICCZ together with CZNIC, the TLD in the Czech Republic, will act as a host of that meeting. So we are looking forward to see you in Prague. So that's from my presentation. If you have any questions, I am here.
Any questions for Joseph? No.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And after that, it's topics. No, but now it's gigapix. Yes, please. Yeah.
So good morning, my name is Franck Simon. I'm working for the French Academy Network that is right there, and I'm the CTO of this network. And one of the activities of Renater is to run exchange point. So we do have a national exchange point in Paris, and we do run also a few regional exchange points. So for an update regarding the Sphinx, we have two POPs in Paris, one in Interaction 1 and the other in Telehouse 2. These are historic POPs, and we do have now about 90 ISPs connected to the Sphinx, and the average traffic for each of these POPs depends, it may vary between 12 and 15 gigabit of traffic on each Sphinx POP. And we do have, in fact, not allocated ports. I should have written active ports. We have about 15 active ports for the 10 gig ports and more than 40 ports active for 100 meg and 1 gig. And for the 100 meg ports, indeed, there are three ports. For the architecture itself, we have two Cisco catalysts, and we do have two dark fibers with redundant paths, so we do activate lambdas, actually 2 times 10 gig lambdas on each fiber, and they are fully redundant as the optical layer. In fact, the point today, we have the chassis almost used. I think we have only one slot free on each chassis. And so we plan to not buy some other catalyst as all the others, as you have may seen, and on the other exchange point. And we will also buy some Terra switches. And we don't want to use any more catalyst switches because of the problems that you already know. So in terms of services, during this summer, we have migrated IPv6 and IPv4 in the same VLAN. Meanwhile, for historic reasons, there was dedicated VLAN, one for IPv4 and one for IPv6. We still have one dedicated VLAN for IPv4 multicast. I've written possibly IPv6 because Reater is a national research network, so we have been running IPv6 multicast in native mode for several years now. So we would be happy to establish IPv6 multicast peerings with ISP on the Sphinx, but it seems that there is no huge request for multicast. And regarding DNS, we have secondary DNS service for .fr, of course, and we are going to migrate it to an Anycast service to improve the service itself. And we do host 3 instances of root servers. Recently, iRoot instance was deployed in Interaction 1, and for a more longer time, F and M root servers were deployed in Telehouse 2. Of course, we support port aggregation. We do provide VLAN services. We have 24 hours NOC. And also, as a national network, we do have a computer emergency response team, so we are able to deal with security issues on the Sphinx itself. And we have just deployed a new portal for, I would say, the management of the contract with ISPs to provide them access to their stats and so on. Now for the upgrades. In fact, it's more than upgrades. We are going to renew the full stuff. It's not that we are going to buy some new cards, I say. We are just going to remove the catalyst to buy Terra switches for the 2 core pops we have. But I have also an option to add a new pop. And then I've written here, either keep catalyst as the edge for, I would say, 1 gig ports or less. But in my mind, I think I won't use them anymore. I would prefer to buy some new switches rather than buying maintenance for older switch that are anyway too big even for 1 gig port. And we had better buy some new switches, maybe some smaller one, only for 1 gig ports. And keep the Terra switches for the 10 gig and more ports. So, in fact, we plan to do this new, to buy this new equipment within the next few months. And so we will send the architecture that we plan in our mailing list, in which all our ISPs are connected. We have a mailing list for all the ISPs connected to ExchangePoint, and so we'll consult the ISPs to know which is the best solution for them, because as I said, we are a non-profit organization and we want to make sure that the money we collect from the ISPs is used in the best way possible. So we need to consult the ISPs about the new architecture. Well, that's it. I just wanted to take this opportunity, but it's to say that we are going to open by the end of this year a new exchange point in Marseille. But it won't be an internet exchange point. It will be an optical exchange point. So if some people are interested to know more, just feel free to drop me a mail. Or maybe we can have a discussion at the break. Thank you.
Okay. I see there's questions.
Can you go back to the first slide, please? When you say there is no transit allowed, do you have anything in place that checks for that?
In fact, we do some stats, basic stats on the switches. And so we just check that always it entering and entering on the switch is going out. And so, in fact, there is no real, I would say, no real technical solution to check that. It's just that in the contract you do sign when you connect to the Sphinx, you agree that you don't do transit. So each time we have seen a stat there was a suspected transit, we directly contact the ASP and start asking to stop it immediately, otherwise we shut down the port.
Okay, thank you.
About your switches, you say Terra switches. Are you still in the selection process then?
Yes. And in fact, we are in contact with several switch vendors, but you know all them. And they are the same names as you have seen in the previous presentation anyway. And we will make our choice within the next few weeks.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Next up, topics. There you go. All right. And after that, it's Vix.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Luca Ciccali of Topics. It's the first time for me here at the right meeting, but I'm very happy. More than an update, it could be a presentation about Topics for people who don't know who we are and what we are doing. That's the first slide. But probably some one of you doesn't know anything about Turin, so where we are. And probably they remember about the last Winter Olympic Games, 3 years ago. It was too much time for us. But regarding us, we are a nonprofit consortium that was founded in 2002, and just as a first goal to create and manage and distribute the IXP in the north and west of Italy. At the moment, we are 12 people working there. With more than 60 members, and we are also integrated in a local government program on broadband that is called YPI. PI is the three letters of our region, Piedmont. What we do? We do two things, the internet exchange, of course, and everybody knows what we're doing. On the other side, we're also doing the so-called development program, that is a program to help the internet ventures in their startup phase, providing them internet connectivity and hosting. But of course, I really focused on the internet exchange part. Our model is more, as I said before, than an internet exchange. So starting from our high availability infrastructure, we also, as I said before, the internet exchange provides bandwidth for the internet ventures that are hosted in the development program. But the development program, on the other side, helps us to build an open environment in which members and non-members can share their experiences. And I told you before about the integration, about the local government program. Here is the network that is the left ring, the red ring, sorry, is what was provided by the local government program. And in such a way, we are a very distributed IXP. Right, the more details on the URL below. How to access to topics? As we have in the region some very small ISPs, where we still have 10 meg ports, but we are also providing 10 gig ports at the moment, only 4, but they are available in only, of course, in Turin, and how to connect there. with your own infrastructure, of course, leasing connectivity from carriers. You can see the most important nationals and also international carriers that are available on topics. But also we allow, especially small ISPs, to be connected in wireless, allowing them to put their antennas and allowing them with cabling to the switches. Of course, the housing is available on each point of process. What we have done more is a connection with another small internet exchange with in the closer French region in Lyon. Why? Because we are closer regions with common interests, so we have decided to do something together. What we have done is a connection, layer 2 connection at the moment, on one hop that allows each IXP maintains its independence. And what I'm meaning that members in topics remains only topics members and don't have to become Leonix members and vice versa, and they can peer together. Some data, just to be more quick, our traffic was up to 15 gigabits per second, okay, and but unfortunately IPv6 traffic on our exchange is more or less 1%. We have 40 autonomous systems connected. You've seen before that we have more than 60 members. The reason is that not every member is using topics as an internet exchange, but they're participating in the development program. So most of them are doing both of two things, but not every member is using topics as an internet exchange. Our platform is a mixed platform, especially a Cisco platform, because we started with that, but we have now an IBIT platform with also 410. Of course, only in the core. The edges is only Cisco. But as we are open, we're trying this new technology, and we're open in the future to try a new one, for example. We are multicast, especially IPv6 enabled, as we are exchanging some small IPv6 traffic, and we're hosting Fruit and JRoot servers. I skip this slide because just to give you more details about the core architecture. What's new about what I mentioned before? We have a route server now with Quagga, but my colleagues are looking for a new one. The route server is now working on two separate hardware servers. My colleagues have developed a DB, NockDB tool that helps us. As you've seen, we have a complex, even if we are small, a complex architecture because we're doing different things. So this helps, this tool helps us in network configuration and management, and it's an open source tool, unfortunately now only in Italian. We have also deployed, as in Lyon, a connection with Padua on the same idea about Lyon. Probably next the V6 man will talk about that. Okay, the latest slide about the traffic, sorry. This is an example, a sample of the daily view, and this is a sample of what's happening in a year. We have an up and down traffic, as you can see. Any questions?
Any questions? Okay. Thanks. So we now have Vix, And we're discussing whether we want to move a couple of the updates to the afternoon session. Can I see a show of hands who's in favor? Okay, and who's against? That means we're moving a couple to the afternoon. So after physics, which is Padova, we'll move Equinix, JPNEP, and TerraMark to the afternoon.
Could have still slept.
Sorry.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Martin Fischer, and I'm working for the Vienna Internet Exchange. And I'll give you a short update on how things are going in Vienna, and I'll keep it really short, I promise, because we are running quite out of time. This is the kind of mandatory slide I have to show you. We are very close below the 25 gigabit of peer traffic. We are still locating on two sites, one at University and one at Interaction in Vienna, with about 100 customers, the newest ones among them Microsoft and Akamai. And especially Akamai was quite important for us because they brought us a lot of traffic, so thank you. The 100 customers are operating 140 ports, amongst them 45 IPv6, part of them v6 only, and part of them just v6 enabled. What we are working on, or let's say what my colleague Wolfgang Henner-Bichler is working on, is establishing route servers. The work is now in progress, and we hope to have a beta test online about December this year. The route server will be based on BERT. Wolfgang asked me twice to mention that the guys at NixCZ were highly communicating with us and were very fast with all the bug fixes. So thank you for that. There will be no B2B communities needed because all the peering relations are built and written in our database. So the database is the source for peering data and peering traffic. And it's managed through our customer portal where you can set all your peering behavior and you can set all the peering data. There will be a site-specific configuration to keep the cross-traffic between our two sites very low, so you can prefer routes and prefixes from your peering partner at your own site. There will be also the possibility to kind of prepend ASs to configure the peering behavior as you want to. And hopefully there is this route server online in December, and we're really looking forward to test it, and hopefully it will work as we expect it to. One last thing, there will be a technical workshop at the end of November in Vienna, at the 25th of November. So if you're interested to come to Vienna and participate at this workshop, just ask me for further details or just check our website. If you have specific technical questions about BERT and about how our route servers are built, feel free to ask my colleague Wolfgang Henner-Bichler directly. He will sure give you answers. More precise and more helpful answers than I will be able to give you. But of course, you can come to me and ask myself. I will just forward questions to my colleagues. The very last thing, just a screenshot of how our route server will be manageable by our portal. So any further things in December this year, hopefully. Thank you.
Any questions? No? Thanks. And it's Visex, the Padova. Okay, there you go. And that will be the last one then for this session. And we'll do the rest of them in the afternoon when Andy's chairing.
Hi, everybody. I'm Riccardo Loselli. I'll try to be fast, I promise. And I'm one of the V6 in Padua Exchange IX member, so I will try to introduce you the exchange without entering too many details, as I'm not one of the technical staff out in the exchange. The exchange started in June, while operationally started just in September, so it's very young. You may think why another new user access point in Italy, as we already have other six, and if there is any sense for it. We think yes. The region where we are, which is the eastern part of the country, quite the opposite of the topics exchange, has a very high demand for broadband and has a very poor support from traditional broadband lines. This is the reason why in our area we have about 25 major wireless ISPs and up to 50 minor ISPs. A neutral access point in the area wants to promote these, the access to broadband, to backbone broadband to these ISPs, and also benefit them from peering on a local area instead of peering in Rome and Milan. Even if the country is not so big, it will save to local operators to peer some 300 to 500 kilometers away, of course increasing performances too. The idea is to keep the information local. Also, many of the operators are quite young and are not concerned too much yet to the quality of the service and SLA. Without giving any mandatory rule to follow, the idea is to develop some policy and service level agreement for the operators to follow to improve the quality of the service they are providing and to give services to the local government too. Why an initial access point in Padua? Padua is one of the main POPs for the research network in Italy and for the GARIX, which is the new generation network of the research the research network in Italy. We have a high number of operators, local operators in the area, and there is a request for grid computing, cloud computing, and startups that can benefit from the presence of the exchange. And another interesting thing is that the local government was trying to find a solution to provide broadband and high quality service to local offices and local administration without investing and spending too many money on communication infrastructure. The idea that showed up was to give access to the market for every ISP in the area, and while checking the quality of the service, having the neutral access point to act as a hub for all the operators in the area. Another good thing is that Padua is right in the middle of the diverse path from the central and south of Italy to the northern part of Italy, and to the southeastern part of Europe, so Austria, Slovenia, Hungary, for example, where we have also a strong link on the economical and cultural side. That's pretty much the structure of the service given to from the Padua Exchange. You can see we have about 10 members. Four of the members are big Italian nationwide operators, while the other are pretty much local, the university and research network, and the local government network that is connected to the exchange too. We also have a connection with other neutral access point, namely Turin, as Luca said before. The exchange is managed basically by the local university with a technical committee by the university and a technical committee, an additional technical committee, which is the operator committee, formed by one member, one representative of each IXP member. Basically, the technical decisions are made between one representative of the technical committee of the university and all the members of the exchange. Of course, there is the operation team, which are the people that really work on the hardware. Okay, the infrastructure and the architecture is quite normal. Layer 2 infrastructure for peering. an IPv4 space dedicated to IPv4 peering. Unfortunately, at the moment, the exchange has no IPv6 support, and this is okay. This is something we really want to change. Of course, the monitoring and so on. One last thing, of course, the interconnection with topics, and this is the model of the over network, which is the network from the local government. You can see that all the offices of the local government can buy broadband internet services from different ISPs, so it does not interfere in any way in the market. It also opens, actually, the market to new operators, and all the traffic is brought to the neutral access point in Padua, which acts as an hub and allows the local government technical infrastructure to monitor the quality of the service that are delivered. Okay.
Right. Thank you. And no questions? Okay. Right. The order was the other way around. Okay. Okay, well, then that concludes our morning session. We hope to see you back in the afternoon. We don't start right after lunch, but at 4 again. And Andy will be chairing that one. So if you're up for, well, you have three more updates then. We have the session by Wolfgang, premiere of the Eurex film competition, more Eurex with the report and the route server working group. And then we'll have Martin Pels from AM6 talking about rebuilding a plane in midair, and the carrier Ethernet exchange by Equinix. And that will be the afternoon agenda. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your lunch.